Amber.
Amber, yeah.
I'm Andreas.
Okay. Okay, my first question for you is when you were at Amazon,
yeah.
How did you predict customers' preference?
Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, mm-hmm. we found that people are much more predictable than they think. We want to have the feeling of being unique, mm-hmm. of making decisions,
yeah.
you know. But then when you look at data, mm-hmm. it turns out you can predict people's behavior pretty well. Now, what is important in a predictive model is that you find good variables.
Mm-hmm.
Because the quality of the prediction really depends on the data that go into the prediction.
Yes.
And one of the things we found initially somewhat surprising
mm-hmm.
was that your history of what you have bought is less important than we thought, but the situation you're in mm-hmm. is more important than we thought.
Okay.
So, for example, a number of people here had a Canon 5D camera.
Yes.
So if you enter Canon 5D Mark III on Amazon, people know, Amazon knows rather, that you know what you want. If you enter digital camera,
mm-hmm.
then in this process of shopping, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the process of creating and maintaining product representation in your head, that you initially create something and then you maintain it, you see that, you know, the price of the lens drops because they're coming out with a new one, etc. In this process, which is only every now and then punctuated by a purchase, in that process the situation you are in is very important. So, if you do not take situation into account,
mm-hmm.
quite difficult. If you do take situation into account, more predictable than you think.
Okay, so that's why Amazon has an option that this is a gift option.
Right.
So it don't count that into your preference.
Yep, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually, I believe that the third right I have is the right to amend. To amend. Like in the United States Constitution, there's a First Amendment, Second Amendment, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that we should be able to amend any data in the world. So, for example, making a wish list on Amazon for me means that I am able to put data in my shopping cart and amend them and say, well, let's see until that price drops. So marking something as a gift is just one example of amending data. In this case, you're purchasing data and you basically tell Amazon to not use those data for recommendations, because it might have been a book. For instance, a friend of mine I'm going off for dinner, he asked me to buy him a book about baby swimming, because he is a little baby, and you know, there's a book about baby swimming. So I personally don't want recommendations for the next year based on baby swimming. So by saying I bought that for somebody else. On the other hand, books about big data, I of course want to know if somebody else is coming out with a book in my area.
Yeah.
So maybe I even can give it more weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that right to amend is, I think, very important for people to express really their true interests. And it is in the interest of the system to take them serious about that. So if I amend some data and see that the result is that I get recommendations where this, if I waited more, is just more important, then I'm encouraged to continue and amending data.
Yeah.
If it has no impact on what I see, no, why should I spend my time? Okay, so that was the question about predictable.
Okay. So you talked about Alipay in your speech, right? There is a credit score.
Yes.
That you mentioned. I watched it, like, I didn't watch it, but I hear a lot about a TV series called Black Mirror.
Oh, really? How do you know?
I
just, 2 days ago, I tweeted. Can you read my Twitter?
I can.
You saw it. And so I tweeted. My phone is upstairs.
Okay.
So either I Facebooked or I tweeted. And what I said is, I think season 3, episode 2 or something like this, is the perfect implementation of Alibaba's Sesame Score. Where after every interaction, you take a picture or you actually rate the other person.
Yeah.
That's the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
How interesting. Honestly, I just watched it 2 days ago with a Chinese friend of mine who knew how to download it because I didn't know how to download it. Absolutely interesting. So what do I think about it? Brilliant. Absolutely brilliantly done. That hour, I think it is, extremely well researched. And the question I always have is, what is the alternative? So you rate every interaction, and after you rated it, you see what the other person gave you. I have one of my sayings is to make the implicit explicit.
Implicit explicit.
Do you know what that means? Implicit meaning that it is somewhere hidden, somewhere behind the curtain. You might know it or you might not know it yourself.
Yeah.
It's implicit in the data. And making the implicit explicit means that you now actually open the curtain or the kimono and you say, I'm putting my cards on the table. Let's say you are playing a game of cards. They are turned upside down. You know, it is somewhere there, but then you turn them over and now it's explicit. So the deep question that episode asks is, what is impact on society when we have, when we make the implicit explicit? One of the people who I absolutely think the world of, I respect, I think nobody else more than him, is Daniel Kahneman.
Daniel
Kahneman. Yeah. K-A-H.
K-A-H.
N-E.
M-A-N. M-A-N. Okay.
Danny is a wonderful human being.
Danny.
His name is Danny.
I definitely do research on him.
And I've known him for 15 years.
15 years?
15 years.
Oh, nice.
So I remember crossing the street in Seattle when I listened to the radio and I learned that he got the Nobel Prize. And I was so happy about that. And he is so modest. So I remember that one day I was invited to the Goldman Sachs Scientific Advisory Council. And I presented to Danny the day before, I showed him my slides. And he clearly didn't like it.
Didn't like it?
So he said, Andreas, look, I am free tomorrow. Why don't I just go with you? And if you have questions, you know, I can help you. So, but what I wanted to say about Danny mm-hmm. is for the book in America, mm-hmm. some people write some blurb. Mm-hmm. And Danny wrote something which said that this book is a wonderful guide mm-hmm. to explore a world without secrets. My book. So I will give you the exact quote if you want.
Okay.
And it's so interesting mm-hmm. that out of the many things he could have picked, mm-hmm. he picked the world without secrets.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And I was very touched because for many years he always asked me, you know, when you write something, send it to me. I want to read it. And I never really wrote anything. We always had wonderful conversations, but I never wrote anything. And then I sent him the draft of the book. And I said, well, you know, no expectation, but since you told me for 10 years mm-hmm. to send you something, here's a draft of the book. And I had, before I started with the book, mm-hmm. I had as my one criterion, mm-hmm. if, and I had forgotten this, I had my criterion, when I started, I said, I don't want Danny, when he looks at my book, mm-hmm. when he starts reading it, to say, well, I actually thought Andreas was a pretty good guy, but reading that, I don't
okay.
like it. So that was my criterion I had 3 years ago when I started. If Danny ever sees my book, I don't want him to think less positive about me.
Yeah.
And I forgot that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Many things, I forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I visited him mm-hmm. 2 months ago in New York. And I go into his penthouse, his wife is there. And at that moment I remember, when I started the book, that was my criterion. And now I suddenly realized before the book is even out, I already created that situation because he said, Andreas, I read your book. And I did not know you were so good. You were so clear. And that moved me quite a bit. So long story short, so he picked on that point of a world without secrets, and my making the implicit explicit mm-hmm. can mean two things.
Mm-hmm.
One, that you think about yourself what you actually want, and then by saying it
mm-hmm.
you make explicit. For instance, here in the financial world,
yeah.
If you say, I actually do not want to invest into US stocks because I do not know what will happen with Trump. So you make that explicit as opposed to just having the vague feeling. The other meaning of make the implicit explicit is Amazon analysis. If it turns out, or let's say dating site, if it turns out, you know, some Chinese people have big eyes, other people have small eyes. If it turns out you only like guys who have small eyes, maybe you didn't realize this, but the dating site knows every guy she clicks on has small eyes.
Has more eyes. Oh,
so that's also making the implicit explicit.
Mm-hmm.
Now I forgot why I talked about making the implicit Alipay. So closing the loop,
mm-hmm.
the black mirror. Makes implicit interactions explicit, and the questions which we are asking is, how does it affect society
mm-hmm.
when we can't keep our feelings for ourselves? And there were a couple of things which were very remarkable. At the airport, I'm not sure, when did you see it? Long time ago.
Long time ago. Yeah.
Okay, so I haven't found it because it's 2 nights ago. So there's a scene at the airport
mm-hmm.
where she needs to go to that wedding
mm-hmm.
and they see her rating
mm-hmm.
and then it says you cannot let somebody with such a rating on the airplane. And she needs to be at that wedding.
Yeah.
And then she said, sorry, no flight available. And then she explodes. And then everybody rates her down.
Oh.
And then airport security comes and says, we, for the next day or something, half your score. And if you get negative feedback, it counts twice as much as it normally does. That was very interesting to see what the world then looks like. Because then it was a downward spiral.
Yeah, that's not good, right?
Yes. And on the other hand, she then was picked up by that woman truck driver. And in some degree, that woman was the most free woman from all of them. Because she had made peace with herself. Like, you know, in meditation or in Buddhism, you know, you don't chase after the next thing. You just let it appear and let it go by. Let it go. So that was an interesting message, that the one woman found a way to step outside and lead a life. So I think that Sesame Score is the most interesting thing I have learned about in the last 1.5 years. On the one hand, I could very strongly argue for it, because as the Chinese government does in the blueprint for 2020 on the social credit, they argue that in this world where we have so many distance interactions, electronic interactions, we need to find some way that tells us who we can trust.
Yeah.
So trust is important, and I also talk in my book about a trust score.
Trust score.
And I talk in my book as an example that if I can couple my reputation with Danny Kahneman's, you know, it would be making implicit things explicit. Did I say,
yeah,
I trust him? It's tricky because his reputation is so good already that it will not go up much. So it's like if you buy Alibaba stock, unclear whether it will go up much.
Yeah, sorry.
So I can argue with the need or the, you know, positively about that we want something like a trust score. And maybe it should be more than one dimension. Because if you want to get some medical advice, you go to a different friend than if you want some shopping advice.
Yeah.
So having one score maybe isn't enough. Maybe we need a few dimensions.
True.
And maybe it should not only be a property of the person, but maybe of the relationship. So, but in principle, I would very strongly be able to argue for the need for something like this. In practice, however, who determines what goes into the score?
True. Like, how did we...
In Black Mirror, at least, all the data that is created explicitly. It is people rating people. I start my book with a story about my dad being put in prison in East Germany by the Soviet forces. 2 weeks ago, I was in Moscow, also at the Ritz-Carlton, and met with Putin.
Putin.
And met with his former economics minister, Hermann Graf, very smart guy, who now runs the biggest bank. So I have to say, you know, these were the people, I mean, different generation, who put my dad in prison without any transparency. So I think that in principle something like Sesame Score would be good to have if it is not clear what goes in. It can be an enormously disempowering element for society.
Yeah.
What do dictatorships have in common? They have in common that everybody breaks the law. You might even jaywalk, you know, across the street.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know whether I can cross the street somewhere. It's actually not obvious. One thing is obvious if you walk across a red light, but Nanjing Xilu at some stage, you know, I don't know, is it okay to walk or not? Probably not.
Yeah.
Because I always have to step over these big flower pots in the middle, which might be an indication that maybe it is not intended to walk there. So everybody breaks the law.
Sure.
No question. And the problem is if that then can be this data point. Face recognition, lots of cameras in Nanjing Xilu. They see the white guy with the white glasses cross the street. Now what they do? So it allows governments to discriminate against people they don't like for other reasons. And this is, for me, given the story of my dad, this is deeply troubling.
Yeah.
That if somebody doesn't like you for some reason, they now have all those data and they can find something against you. That is using data of the people and by the people against the people.
Yeah.
And when I was in Moscow, I had also planned to meet with Edward Snowden. Do you know who he is?
Yeah.
Edward Snowden.
Edward Snowden. Oh, I heard him.
Yeah,
I heard his name.
So he is one of my heroes because he took secret documents from the US government that they had collected.
Oh, I remember this guy.
You remember? Yeah. If you haven't seen the movie called Citizen 4, yeah, he is actually in that movie. It's how he escaped from Hong Kong to Russia. So I did not, and I did ended up not meeting him, but I almost met him. So he was in Moscow, but his schedule was that he had to work in the middle of the night because he was talking to people in the US. And so I had time in the morning, but he needed to sleep. So he is one of the examples of if the government tries to find something against you, the more data there is, the more trouble it can be. So as I was communicating with him via his lawyer, I sent an email to a couple of friends of mine because I remember that I was at home in San Francisco and I more or less jokingly said, so where actually is Edward Snowden? And I do remember where I sat at my home at the top floor, and one of them pulled up an address in Moscow and was with a few people, and I don't remember who of them pulled up the address. So I emailed them and say, hey, probably going to see at Snowden tonight. I know one of you pulled up the address. Can you do me the favor and just email it to me, because I couldn't Google it from Russia. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends wrote back and said, Andreas, no such emails to me. He's very smart.
Yeah.
He knows that it's very easy for the government to look for Snowden in emails. And he knows that nothing good can come out for him. So often, maybe I'm too naive.
Yeah.
But at the heart, what it is, back to Sesame Square, who watches the watchers? Who watches abuse? And now it depends on what weights do you put on things in your life. If 99% of interactions, if 99 of 100 interactions are better because of having Sesame Square, but 1% are worse, maybe mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like trouble. Now, what about if 99.9 is better and 0.1 is worse? What about 99.9999 and 0.0001? Mm-hmm. At some stage, you would argue, maybe it's better to have it. But that is not up to the people who make the score.
Yeah.
That's up to society.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one element. The other element about Sesame Score is a very different one. So far, I've talked about, assume here's a score, and what do we do with it?
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about how measurement changes behavior.
Yeah.
So I used to wear Google Glass. And I write in the book quite a bit about the experience. It ended in being put into a prison cell.
Oh, why?
In Mexico, at the airport. Because there was no photography.
Oh.
And it was my normal glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did not speak Spanish, and the guy didn't like me, and and there I sat. They take away my phones. One of them, I could still text my friend in Mexico. And then after 2 hours or 3 hours, a man with a rich uniform comes. My friend said, Andreas, what are you doing? So that's one of the examples. The worst, that was the last time I was wearing Google Glass. So I'm talking about what the fears are people have about being recorded.
Yes.
And for me, the fear is that the data will be used out of context later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is the case one. The other case, which I think is interesting here, how will it change the behavior of people? In East Germany, and again, we need to look up the numbers in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end, 1 out of 8 people was working for the secret police.
Oh.
It was the German perfection of a surveillance state. Unbelievable. Compared to Third Reich and other countries, unbelievable. There's another good film. I don't see many films, but there, since you mentioned Black Mirror, there's a film which came out 10 years ago. And it's called The Life of Others.
The Life of Others.
Yeah, Das Leben der Anderen. And that looks into what if you don't know who to trust. So how does this change your behavior? Yeah, So the good thing about Black Mirror is it makes the implicit explicit, mm-hmm. and they are not trying to gain other data, which they look from, you know, the cameras up there and what you post on Weibo mm-hmm. and tweet, but at least it's explicit data only. Mm-hmm. I don't know how behavior of people changes. I don't know. Take an example here. Yeah, I could give an example, but I think you have other questions.
Okay.
So I think we are done with that topic. So let's move on to the next one, because otherwise, you know, we are stuck in Sesame.
So my last question actually is on, like, what would e-commerce company develop? What direction there will be? They will be developing. Like, I heard that Amazon has opened like 400 bookstores like last year, right? Okay, so why are they transferring from online platform to, do you think that would be a trend for the e-commerce company or?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
O2O.
O2O, yeah.
I think it was 10 years ago when I gave a talk on O2O.
Mm-hmm.
Something like this, because I know I showed a bridge at the end, which was the Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a picture I took, very nice picture, and I'm talking about, it really is about bridging the physical and the digital.
Bridging,
and we call this phygital. So like physical and digital, phygital.
Phygital.
I haven't used the term for many years.
Oh.
You know, I don't think about everything all the time. I don't use it in the book, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I do. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to find. So, very few things are only digital. Very few things.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about very few things. Almost no commerce is purely digital. At some stage, you have somebody who brings you something. So I think that, let's take Baidu. Baidu bought the delivery service. I forgot what it's called.
Delivers.
Like food delivery.
Delivery service.
So Baidu acquired a company, and I forgot the name.
Okay.
But it's easy. If you tell me, I can say yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they bought a company, basically, to bridge to the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
To gain data about people in the physical world. To know what you physically eat. Not just think about eating, not just search about, but what actually is being delivered where. My fascination about geolocation data
mm-hmm.
is O2O.
O2O.
If you go to Weigand.com.
Weigand,
my last name,
mm-hmm.
.com. And I think it's past. My past.
Mm-hmm.
You see every flight I took for the last 10 years. You see every seat I sat on the airplane.
Oh.
Every flight.
How did you do that?
I just keep my schedule online.
Oh, keep your schedule.
And I just extracted all my flights.
Mm-hmm.
And then I rendered it when I finished the book a couple of months ago, and it goes until August, September this year, from maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, geolocation is O2O. It's just really the essence. Where I am, how long am I there?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm discussing a case in the book
mm-hmm.
of two people wanting to make a secret rendezvous, a secret meeting.
Oh.
But how can they do that? Of course, they can't take their mobile phones with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, of course, China Mobile knows and used to know 15 years ago already. 15 years ago, you could tell, punch in a code, and then China Mobile gave you the location. You could share the location just by cell towers before there was GPS. Mm-hmm. Was an old style phone already. Mm-hmm. 15 years ago. So, of course. But then on the other hand, if they both put their phones into some secret bag, mm-hmm. where not even the NSA or the government can read out the signal, then that's suspicious too. If there are two people and their phones disappear, and then they reappear 2 hours later. So we have no place to hide. That's why it's so important that we develop this notion of data literacy, that people know about the data.
Mm-hmm.
They create the data, they share, whether they know it or not, whether they want it or not. And the reason I teach my class, the reason I spent 3 years of my life writing this book, is that I want people mm-hmm. to make decisions knowing what the trade-offs are. And it's full of examples of showing people that I understand if you want this, those are the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
I understand if you want that.
Mm-hmm.
And then those are the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But please be clear that you can't want the outcome of that if you have the inputs of this. And you can't have the outcome of this if you put in the inputs of that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that is data literacy. In knowing what is possible, but also knowing what is not possible. So if you take Didi back home,
Didi, yeah,
and you tell the Didi driver when you order Didi where you are,
mm-hmm.
but not where you want to go.
Okay.
What will the poor driver do?
Take you to
Ni hao.
Ni hao.
Where can I take you? Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you this. This is my private thing. He cannot take you there.
Yeah, he cannot take.
Or if you take maps, use what maps do you use? What map do you use in the car?
Google Map.
Use Google Map. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you tell Google Map, if you don't tell Google Map where you want to go, Google Map cannot tell you how to get there. So that is a trivial example. But many things fall into that category. That I want people to be very clear of what data they need to reveal,
mm-hmm.
and what they can ask the refinery to give to them.
That's very
important. So I'm not happy if somebody asks me for data which they don't need.
Yeah.
But I'm also not happy if somebody doesn't want to share data, not realizing that by not sharing the data, the refinery can't give them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, one aspect of data literacy is to get a good mental model of knowing how things relate.
Yeah.
That's important in finance.
Mm-hmm.
That if you take more risk, you have a higher reward, expected reward. And that's just the way it has to be. And if somebody says, oh, you know, I took those risky stocks and then the stock market plunged as it did here in Shanghai last year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't want that. Well, be clear about the trade-offs. So, you know, I wanted to have the trade-offs more explicit. I wanted to make the implicit trade-offs more explicit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, you know, what sells as a book.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I think about the world. that you make the trade-off,
mm-hmm.
and you are responsible for the decision.
True.
And I think data for the people means to help people understand the trade-offs they make. You know, you make a trade-off if you date this person
mm-hmm.
versus another person. You can't have both. And what I was, when I was swimming, I was thinking that I want to give my next talk, or maybe just the next class at Fudan.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have 8 real life problems. Real problems.
Real problems.
Real decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions individuals make.
Mm-hmm.
And in each of these 8 cases,
mm-hmm.
I want to show
mm-hmm.
how in this world where we have lots of social data, our own and others,
mm-hmm.
how we can make better decisions with those social data.
Okay.
So the last one clearly is dating.
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 Okay.
There clearly has to be, one of them is your work.
Mm-hmm.
That it becomes more symmetrical. With mm-hmm. social data, you can find out about that potential boss.
Yes.
That's where you work.
Mm-hmm.
Then there clearly is, one of them is travel. I mean, how you get from somewhere to somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You said Google Maps, that of course the traffic conditions are from social data, that they say take this road, not that road. So let's say navigation,
mm-hmm.
or let's move one step higher, let's say mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just assuming you drive, it is, you know, how are you getting there? Maybe driving is not the right thing. So we have, then we have to have something like Dianping.
Dianping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yelp.
Yelp.
Mm-hmm.
I think that also has changed the way how people look for food, for restaurants.
Yeah, true.
Hotels even.
Mm-hmm.
And so where to go, how to go there, where to work, when to work. That's an interesting one, because different times of the day, you're good at different things. So if your Apple Watch, it tells me every now and then, time to breathe. So when to work. I have 3 people I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then they say, Andreas, like after lunch, why don't you take a nap? I think time for a nap.
Time for a nap, yeah.
And they send me to take a nap. So, you know, with all these implicit data,
mm-hmm.
that's another good one. So also, you know, how you sleep, you know, what you eat. I think eat, sleep, when you sleep.
Mm-hmm. When you sleep.
These are very different data, but mm-hmm. also social data. If you find the patterns, if you make the implicit explicit,
mm-hmm.
that if you have white wine, you don't sleep as long.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll come up with 8 in total. So we have
eat, sleep.
So let's just, dating is number 8.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, you know, if you do this in parallel, you could say, when you sleep,
mm-hmm.
and you know who you sleep with. So that would be 7-8. Mm-hmm. Then we have where to go and how to get there.
How to get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we have where to work and when to work.
Yes.
Eat is a good one, and I think let's do one on learning, because education is important. So what you should read? Social data. Who of your friends is slightly ahead of you? So I think I like this. Read. Eat. That's not bad. So I would say these are 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say where to go and how to go. Where to work and when to work.
Yes.
What to read.
What to read.
And what to eat.
What to eat, yes.
And when to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Who is sleeping?
And with whom to sleep.
Yeah.
Thank you for being such a good, empowering listener.
Thank you.
And I'm glad I watched Black Mirror.
Black Mirror. I'm glad you
just 2 days ago. I never heard of it. And a journalist friend of mine, a wonderful journalist friend in the States, he told me I should watch it. And I mentioned it to a physicist who was in the audience at the book launch in Beijing, who now, right now, happens to visit his girlfriend here. And he said, okay, I can help you. I can help you find it. So we watched it. And it's so interesting. And then yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, there was a long article on Sesame Credit.
Okay.
Very well written.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually emailed the journalist this morning and said, you know, if you want me to ask the audience anything today, let me know. But then I haven't read the email. So I fear that he said, oh, you know, I would love to know this. And then I didn't read it. If there's something, I'll let you know. And then we'll find out another way of polling the audience.
Dinner is ready.
Perfect timing. Perfect
it's
timing.
It's already begun, actually.
Oh, no worries. No worries at all.
And we've reserved a seat for you.
Great. I have to say, a wonderful conversation like this with Amber beats any dinner.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amber.
I'd love to talk to you.